You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, you got back into the gambling. You got back into the gambling.
So. Yeah, remember when I told you I'd have to lose 10 consecutive bets to lose at Dawson Knox? I really tried on Monday night, man. I was so wrong on that game.
God, you're not wrong to not trust Stafford. You're not wrong to not trust the Rams.
I just should have trusted them more than Kingsbury. Kyler looked inept. This is the last 2 years. He just totally falls off in the second half. Make it 3 years, and that's going to be the book.
But when you juxtapose with how good he is in the first half, this makes no sense.
Well, he gets banged up. Last season fell apart when he had the shoulder. He had the shoulder this year. He had the ankle this year too. I'm looking for reasons to explain why he falls off in the second half, and that him, because of his stature, him getting knocked around even the slightest bit, throwing his game off just the slightest bit, I think might be a good explanation for it.
Let's play the game. What's the game you're most wrong about this weekend? Because I took the Patriots money line. Anyone? No?
We're not topping that.
So you just believed in the idea of Belichick will do something in the playoffs, and I saw him in the snow. I can understand, Chris, how you'd arrive at that conclusion, because your father said when in that game where the Patriots ran it three times in the snow and won 14-10, your father, and I remember this distinctly, that game, quote-unquote, meant everything. He said it was telling about Brady, telling about the division.
At the time, it did, though.
About the Bills. No, but at the time, it did. That minute, it meant everything until...
I mean, Belichick undressed Sean McDermott.
Okay,
he did.
And then what happened? Brian Daboll is back, is what happened. The Bills play the perfect football game, and now Brian Daboll, who's a failure in Cleveland. We've got post-traumatic stress disorder around here about Brian Daboll from 10 years ago, because he came from Cleveland. We didn't understand why he came from Cleveland. Cleveland was in last in offense. He comes here, they're last in offense. 10 years later, boom. You get Josh Allen, you fix him, you're a head coaching candidate.
In defense of Brian Daboll, that Chad Henne injury totally nuked the season for Miami, and they had to turn to Matt Moore.
I remember that was Tony Sperano's lame duck offensive coordinator hire. It was like, you got one last crack at this. You're picking from the bottom of the barrel, which, by the way, Carolina is doing the same thing now. I don't know if you saw that Ben McAdoo is getting offensive coordinator interviews.
No, he's not.
The Carolina Panthers.
Yes. He's back.
That's a lame duck, bottom of the barrel offensive coordinator hire. And the Dolphins are well familiar with those.
The reports were that in order to save his job, Matt Rhule had to hire a, quote, rock star offensive coordinator. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben McAdoo.
Well, I mean, he is a name offensive coordinator.
As close to a rock star in that he looks like he lives in a van outside of the Forum waiting for the next Scorpion concert.
He is the last successful Giants coach, quote unquote, in successful. But he did a little bit of winning, Ben McAdoo, but we were grateful for him just because of the way that he looked, because he looked like a hot tub salesman in Des Moines.
Remember that final lame duck season of Ben McAdoo's where he started slicking his hair back?
Yes. That was his pivot.
That's when he
was trying to save his job.
That's when he became the rock star. Right there, it was like, you know what? I'm going to come in here, and I'm not going to be Ben anymore. I'm going to be Benji, and I'm going to be Soho hip. And I'm going to gel my hair before I go into work. I'm curious how the audience feels about a weird turn of events this weekend, Stugatz. I don't know if you saw it, but Adam Schefter, I saw it on Instagram. I don't know if he reported it elsewhere. He reports that now the Dolphins, as a lot of other people are reporting, Tua is going to be their starter in 2022. A lot of people are reporting that's it. They've made the decision it's going to be Tua. But Schefter reports that Brian Flores out in Miami means that Deshaun Watson is out in Miami, because Brian Flores was always the one clamoring for Watson. And that ran contrary to all the reports from the season. All of them. Everyone said that Ross was the one. And I'm assuming if you're going to go anonymous sources on this and you're going to get it everywhere, I'm going to assume that those anonymous sources are telling the truth, that they're not burning their reporters. So I assume that the truth was that Deshaun Watson was a Ross thing, not a Flores thing. Then came the backtrack from Adam Schefter a little while later, less reported than the original report. And I'm asking you guys, how'd you react to all that? And what do you think happened there?
Well, there was a subsequent follow-up tweet from Schefter where he says they were all on the same page and they all wanted Deshaun Watson 100%, one source said. So he basically reported both sides of the story. So from my perspective, I think the Dolphins organization all along wanted Watson, and they were trying to spin, you know, having backing confidence in Tua. That was kind of like, it was an hour where both of the major NFL insiders had major Dolphins information. Ian Rappaport also had a story about how they're backing Tua 100%, and they want to find a coach who wants to build around Tua, which I personally found annoying as a Dolphins fan. You should be trying to find the best coach, and if they think Tua is not worth it, then they should move on from their quarterback. But either way, it was clearly, again, another concerted effort from the Dolphins to try and say, Tua is our guy, and maybe someone from the Flores camp called Schefter is like, hey man, that's not how this went down.
Well, yeah, he cited a second source that said they were all in agreement, and maybe that was a pro Flores thing, but poked around, talked to some people that know some people, and it seems pretty legit that Brian Flores was the driving force. Now, whatever you may believe, maybe Brian Flores convinced everybody in the organization, and there was some consensus towards a deadline. Remember, there was that strange report that around the deadline that Stephen Ross needed certain specifications to be met, and they weren't met. And therefore, they didn't pull the trigger come deadline time, which I kind of found odd. I was like, if Stephen Ross is driving this whole thing like it's being reported locally, then why is he surprised that certain criteria aren't being met? Brian Flores, by all indications, was the driving force behind this. And regardless of whether or not they eventually found consensus, that is a stark departure from what the reputation was of one Brian Flores and one Stephen Ross this season. Stephen Ross took all the heat for Brian Flores because everybody was blaming Ross for this horrible situation.
For putting it on Flores, for putting the situation on him. And I, Stugatz, and this does not happen to me often because we've been around how the sausage gets made, but I've always thought you have to be discerning with these anonymous reports where they're coming from, who it is that stands to benefit, and that there's a degree, a grain of salt that you have to provide for the story. But now I don't know how to do this anymore because Schefter's been compromised for me. Schefter has been compromised because he will tell one side of the story. That's not something I saw 4 months ago. So, and the thing that I don't like about that feeling is that I really now, you get all these reports from all these different places. I happen to think what Mike is saying is true, but I don't love that for a year I don't know what's true, and then out of nowhere an insider appears that I've always trusted, and he reports something that's the opposite of what I've seen reported all along, and my first thought is some form of, well, wait a minute, is he wrong? Because he doesn't, in my mind, he's never wrong, until a few months ago where I'm like, oh, there are shady people trying in the background to control the narrative through the insiders.
You don't trust Schefter as much as you used to. That's interesting. That's because his credibility has absolutely taken a hit in the last year. But I think most people, they still probably trust Adam Schefter. But that whole thing is fat. Well, like, who do we turn to?
No, but I'm asking you because I'm asking you, you don't change your mind on things.
No.
When you get like entrenched on believing a thing. Somebody's a liar when they come to you with information that's opposite from what you've known. Chris Cody, your entire year was spent thinking what was happening with Deshaun Watson.
I'm just confused right now. Couldn't it just be that they all wanted Watson and now they're just trying to like Ross is like, no, Flores wanted him. And Flores is like, no, Ross wanted him. And it just seems like
hot potato.
It just seems like now they got rid of Flores and they're just trying to spin this thing so that the media can get behind them.
Well, the thing that's hard to discern is everyone here has an agenda, right? Like, how do you get to the honest truth But if you call Stephen Ross, he's going to tell you something that benefits Stephen Ross. And when you call Brian Flores, he's going to tell you something that benefits Brian Flores. Honest brokering of information?
I've always counted on Schefter to do that for me. I've always counted on Schefter and Glazer and those guys to bring me the truth as well reported as it can be known. Multiple sources, multiple viewpoints. And because of what's happened the last 6 months, it's the first time I've always ever had that feeling. It's beyond liking him and knowing that he's a good journalist. Over the last 6 months, what you have seen about how the sausage is made and where he'll report something that is clearly one-sided, that is coming from an agent or somebody who wants that part of the story told. The part about it that I'm concerned about as someone who likes to consume this stuff is I don't like the deteriorating of, well, I don't know what the truth is here. I've got these people fighting over a sexual predator. Like, we spent the season with the Dolphins willing to take on the stain of anonymous reporting that they were so crass about winning that they were going to welcome those allegations into their huddle.
But nobody is denying that Brian Flores was deeply interested in Deshaun Watson and didn't like Tua. And maybe the Tua stuff was out there. It was pretty obvious from how he handled the situation. But Brian Flores totally skated on the Deshaun Watson stuff.
Mike, he's lost you because there was another report you sent me. And I don't know. Please give the source the credit because I don't know.
I mean, that story is just absurd. If you want to talk about like leaking with an agenda, the report was, I got to find the
listen
source.
Listen to this, though.
Brian Flores didn't talk to anybody, any of his coordinators since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was an ESPN report from Marcel Louis Jacques. Yeah. He was on ESPN Daily.
Like, not even a happy holiday.
What are we doing here?
No, he said that
during
a 7-game winning streak, he was not communicating with his staff when meetings were happening.
You say that he had me. These reports got me. I was willing to wait on the sidelines to form an opinion. Brian Flores had a very strong following and a lot of support, and a lot of fans were crying over the season, poor Brian Flores, how do you put him in this position? And it's irrefutable that he was team Deshaun Watson. No, you're throwing out a lot of angles and a lot of agendas. No one is refuting Brian Flores really wanted Deshaun Watson, and that flatly was not the narrative here this entire year.
I'm sorry. I'm refusing to believe that Flores did have a single conversation with either coordinator since Thanksgiving.
I'm picturing him with his arms crossed, like, I'm not talking
to
you.
It's hard to believe.
Not going
to
budge.
I don't think you could go through a day doing that without like some of your muscles seizing and stuff because you have to hold yourself and move away from people saying hello.
Why is everyone screaming?
Oh, I know, because it's very
weird.
Intense.
Weird how you care about this stuff. Why?
I feel betrayed.
Yeah.
By who? You're a Browns fan.
I feel betrayed by a narrative. I feel betrayed that we were trying to analyze this Tua Brian Flores situation, and Brian Flores was out here getting a lot of sympathy from folks because he was put in this terrible situation, and it seems as though it was his own making.
Antonio, Brian Flores should do the exact same thing Antonio Brown did, just to troll everybody and go on that Full Send podcast and like have the same vibe that Antonio Brown did. Wouldn't that be funny?
And if he just spoke with that kind of honesty, who there is better than me? Who? Ross?
He just sat down in front of a microphone. Hey, Tua, you watched him. He sucks.
Everyone says that.
Same posture that Antonio Brown had, really lounge sitting.
And as an added bonus, takes out Tom Brady as well. Just takes out Tom Brady from the Patriot days. People think we were friends. We were never friends. If your friend gets you a good contract.
Why am I not earning a deal? Yeah. He's like, what?
Belichick, bit of a kook.
How can you say that way? Brian Flores, Mike, because of what has happened.
I've been painted as anti-Brian Flores when I thought he shouldn't have been fired. But I'm really shocked by some of these reports out there. And yeah, the Miami Dolphins are trying to cover their tracks. I find it unnecessary. But also, the driving force behind the Deshaun Watson stuff seems to be Brian Flores. And you can't be part of QAnon and also support Brian Flores at this point.
Billy asks...
You okay?
Billy asks why it is that we're yelling. And in my case, the thing that I keep trying to take you guys back to, and I understand discussing the soap opera, what you believe to be true, my faith in the truth has been rattled here because I've believed something else for a year. And I did not know that I was being manipulated quite that way. And it was surprising to me because I realized in that when Mike says he feels betrayed, I feel betrayed from within that. I feel like a sucker. I feel dumb because I have spent something. I've spent a year thinking the wrong thing.
We did countless shows on Tua versus Deshaun Watson and how do you do this? And at no point was our ire directed towards Brian Flores for totally mishandling this situation. I think that's an important piece of data there, when you're trying to evaluate the job.
Well, Mike, we would say Dolphins organization. I mean, that includes Brian Flores.
Don't be cute with me. This was all about an 81-year-old owner like looking for the last grasp to be a contender.
I felt bad when people were pouncing on Flores for something he said in a news conference that seemed like a little bit of a slight of Tua. That he didn't seem like he was supporting his quarterback the right way. And the feeling that I got because he mishandled it, and I think this was shared by the fan base, is how can you put him in this position where he's the only voice for your team on something like this? It made me pity him that he had to go out there and be the good soldier on behalf of the organization and on behalf of something that everybody was pinning on Ross, the owner.
When it comes to journalism, you kind of have a sense of how the sausage is made. So, like, I've always just kind of assumed if Schefter reports who the new head coach is for the Bills, someone in the Bills organization just told him. So, like, with this stuff, like, hearing one side of the story, that's kind of the way I've always, like, I know journalistically you're supposed to vet things. So, to me, this is not this big revelation.
Yeah, but you're not making a distinction here on news and stuff that smears people. You're just saying, oh, first on a head coach, fine. I'm talking about I'm talking about how I thought about a man because of what was being put in his mind and heart about winning. Like at the end of Stephen Ross's life, we were burying this dude for something that he may not have been responsible for. Like we were all sort of doing it.
We were putting Brian Flores and saying we were putting our sympathies on him, saying, wow, he's in an impossible situation. When it appears that Brian Flores was really driving the Watson thing, got consensus from the owner from those reports because the owner was deeply involved in the trade
negotiation. And you say all this, and I still don't know what to believe, Mike. Like, this is what you believe and what things seem like, but I really don't know. Still, I don't know what's true here.
Let's connect the dots. There's obviously Michigan ties with Stephen Ross and Adam Schefter.
Yep.
So I assume he's getting his information from Stephen Ross. Now, we're all kind of stunned by the amount of the leaks and how they're painted a certain way. You could say that they're totally full of shit, or you could be like, wow, they absolutely kept their mouth shut the entire year while there was a narrative growing around this organization.
But which is it? So did they orchestrate a smear campaign when they got crushed and received the unusual reaction of people around the nation surprised by a firing, a wrong? How, before Martin Luther King Day, could you take out the successful black guy and now you're left with just Mike Tomlin as a black guy? And now you also get with this conversation, you got people running around trying to defend Cully when he was always a bandage, who was never a coordinator, who was never, as far as I know, someone who interviewed for a head coaching job. They gave him $22 million to be a bandage over what was clearly a one-year job that was going to be a disaster because of Deshaun Watson.
I'm glad you brought up Cully. What did he do to deserve to be fired? Cully, I listened a couple of weeks ago. I said Cully was a coach of the year winning four games with Davis Mills.
You were so ready to talk that I answered your question before.
No one cares about Cully.
Should they have waited till after Martin Luther King Day to do all of this stuff?
Oh, jeez.
I answered your question before you asked it.
Well, I appreciate
that. But you were so rusty from a long weekend doing God knows what that you wanted to come down with. Cully was wronged when he got $22 million. I'm going to say it again. Never a coordinator.
Right.
Never a candidate for a head coaching job. And I think maybe once interviewed, I'm not totally sure about that, a guy who was clearly there, hey, David, we'll give you $22 million. Get out there and just take the beating for a year. You're going to make more than Belichick this year because we're going to fire you with a 3-year deal. If by some miracle you win 10 games.
Right.
But that was viewed as something that had racial undertones or overtones. It did not. That was the deal. Now, I will tell you what has racial overtones. That ownership group is friends with Mitch McConnell, which makes you empirically racist, I think. like close friends with Mitch McConnell.
By extension, right. I mean.
Yes, just close friends. If you go, if you are somebody who might be invited, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show.
Holiday card for Mitch McConnell.
If you get it, are you empirically racist?
I can only imagine the vacation David Culley's planning right now. Oh, my God. You get fired, 22 mil.
Yeah.
Probably going everywhere.
He'd like to coach, though, I'm thinking.
Nah,
you think he's good with the 22 million buyout?
After a long vacation.
I don't know. He seems like a lifer.
I think he's been planning it since before the season started. I think he might be there.
It played out exactly the way he imagined.
He might be there with old long-necked David Mills.
He led the chance of 1-2-3 Cancun.
Fine.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
But now Flores is a big-time contender for that Houston Texans job.
Correct.
I wish Deshaun Watson were to stay there and wave, like, say, never mind, I don't want to be traded anymore, and that Flores and him end up reuniting and being better than whatever the Dolphins do.
It is still funny, though, that now Brian Flores is the picture of competence around the league. Like, when Dallas has this disaster over the weekend, the first thing is, they should bring in a competent coach like Brian Flores. He still maintains his reputation even after everything that's happened.
Stugatz, do you understand? I don't think you heard it before. Well, you certainly didn't hear it before you asked your question.
That Culley got robbed?
Okay, I mean, so you are entrenched.
I'm with Stugatz on this. I'm with him on this. Yeah. What do you want him to do?
Right.
You handed him the equivalent of the roster that Brian Flores inherited. You give him this disaster of a quarterback situation, and he only goes and wins 4 games. He goes and beats the Chargers when they're trying to make the playoffs. Like, that was a really impressive season that they put together.
I think this was a gift. I think it was a favor. It was, you know what? Deal with this for a year, and then there's $22 million. Whoa. Nice vacation. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, but I think somewhere along the way, Culley said, hey, I like this.
I'm pretty good at this. He looked around, and he didn't say I like this.
I'm going to add one bit of information I didn't have in before, I don't think. I think he's 66. Like, this is not a hotshot young coach.
Right.
Perfect retirement age.
I know Bruce Arians ran on the field as a 69-year-old and thought it was okay this weekend to, like, hit one of his players in the helmet, because these guys, they're just,
I'm telling you about Bruce Arians.
He's 69 years old, hobbles onto the field and hits one of his players in the back of the helmet instead of reprimanding
told
him.
Told you, not a nice man.
Can I read David Culley's Wikipedia page in terms of his coaching history? Describe how much he would have enjoyed being a head coach, and you're saying he wants to be out after a year. 1978, Austin Peay, running backs coach.
Wait.
Lifer.
You are now going to see, though, I'm not even kidding you here, if you want to have a race discussion around this, and I know many of you do not, but as you read this, imagine how frustrating it must be. Never mind would he want to coach another year, because he got his $22 million. Somehow he got reparations. He got $22 million in a year. But when you read this, I want you to hear how frustrating it must be. I don't even know what this says. To get to 66 years old and nobody was going to ever give you a chance. Never a coordinator. And I don't think maybe he has interviewed for a job, but I've never heard his name before interviewing for jobs. And so if he was interviewed for a job, I assumed Rooney Rule. This is not someone that is an up-and-comer. He's not going to change the game. I think he's 66 years old. What is this coaching biography?
1979, Vanderbilt wide receivers coach. 1982, Middle Tennessee quarterbacks coach and running backs coach. 1983, Chattanooga wide receivers coach. Southwestern Louisiana. 1985, quarterbacks coach. Texas El Paso. Grasso, 1989, offensive coordinator. Texas A&M, 1991, wide receivers coach. Tampa Bay Bucks, 1994, wide receivers coach. 1996, Pittsburgh Steelers, wide receivers coach. 1999, Philadelphia Eagles, wide receivers coach. 2011, senior offensive assistant, Philadelphia Eagles. Kansas City Chiefs, assistant head coach and wide receivers coach. 2013, Buffalo Bills quarterbacks coach. Baltimore Ravens, assistant head coach, wide receivers coach, and passing game coordinator, Houston Texans head coach. You mean to tell me that this guy has been a coach of football for 40 years in southwestern Louisiana, UTEP, and he's like, yeah, I'll take the parachute after all this work for 1 year where I did a good job. Come on. That guy wants to work.
Yeah.
He's tired.
Yeah. Come on.
He's in Aruba right now, loving life.
I got tired hearing you read his resume.
I mean, look at every like 2 years he was somewhere else. You don't think he's in like $22 million? Just kind of plant the roots somewhere, live life. Be great.
You guys,
maybe a boat somewhere.
Man. No, I can make this stuff about race. Like, I could.
We know we've done it.
I can argue that side. I'm not going to do it here. I feel like he knew the job he was taking when he took it, and that was a professional transaction. That's $22 million on the nightstand. Thank you. We're gonna bleep for a year, and I'm gonna leave the money on the nightstand, and
you go away and do whatever you want to do.
It's not gonna be a relationship.
But to Whittingham's point, and I'm with him on this. I am telling you right now, even with $22 million, Cully is gonna coach again. He will. He'll go to college. He'll go to high school.
I hope so.
He'll go somewhere because that man is a coach.
But Stugatz, I've told you this last week. This is how ugly, speaking of MLK Day and whether they should have done before, after, or on, this represents, meager though it is, and in a league where there is now, today, one black NFL coach, I think it's a 60 or 70% black league. This is small progress that Flores is now the competent one in interviews, that Cully might actually, well, he'll get a better job. Maybe he'll get a better job if he wants it. I think there's no better job than $22 million in Aruba. But did you see what happened, Stugatz? And this is how it happens. And it happens so quietly, the way that the machine gets back to the status quo. Because while we were yelling and screaming about Flores and Cully last week, did any of you see, as followers of sport, what happened with Iowa football this weekend? This weekend, Iowa football had a nice season that if it didn't erase.
They always have a nice season. It's never a great season. It's always a nice season. Kirk Ferentz. I'm tired of him.
Talking about the extension, Dan?
What happened?
No. I've got something before that. It's the extension is good, and you just stole my punchline because, yes, he got an extension, but in 2020, when the NFL said from one day to the next, when the black quarterback speaks truth to power and the next day Goodell's like, we were wrong, we were wrong, we were wrong. End racism in the end zone. They don't actually end racism, just end it in the end zone. That league, a conservative league, that continues to have Colin Kaepernick blackballed. This is what happened this weekend, quiet as it's kept, after that league moved its stance. We were wrong because of George Floyd. And now the machine tries to hum and get back into business toward the status quo. Kirk Ferentz, Stugatz, this is all important if you're watching, but people won't because now that will get professionalized down there. Kirk Ferentz, who's been running that place and could be Iowa coach forever and has been mentioned for head coaching jobs for as long as we've been doing this. Used to be a hot young candidate. Now he's Hayden Fry. He's been there so many years. And under his tutelage, where his son is one of the coaches, they had the scandal as there was an uprising that went for the money among the players. You know, you guys hate the plantation, but the unpaid labor that keeps this business going. From that plantation, all over social media, got their strength coach fired for being somebody who was allegedly always racially abusing them. Got him fired. First order of business by Urban Meyer when he comes into white power. Get me that guy. He symbolizes strength. That does not work. But what happened this summer is that Kirk Ferentz right then said, no, we'll get this fixed. I'm going to create a committee of inclusion, diversity, and acceptance. This is so good, Stugatz. It's so bad, but it's so good what I'm about to tell you because you guys need to see this stuff because it happens so quietly in the shadows, even with a famous coach you've been talking about for 20 years. It's unbelievable. They have this committee of volunteers made up of former players. Volunteers, former players. Ferentz, so he can listen, Ferentz, I think his son's on the coaching staff, might be the offensive coordinator. 10-player committee, has a few contentious meetings. At one of them, the committee chair, an offensive lineman, says Ferentz has got to go, his staff has got to go, the culture's got to go, the athletic department's got to go. Next thing that happens, the committee's fired. 3 days later, Ferentz signs an extension through 2029, $7 million a year. Fired the committee that was there to speak truth to power. It spoke truth to power. He fired the volunteers of former players. He dissolved the committee.
He chalked it up to a new calendar year and an email to the committee. It's a new calendar year. I will look for ways to reconstructure the committee and the board in a way that best serves our program moving forward.
I think you read the word wrong. There's no way it didn't say. Read that word.
Restructure.
Again.
I'm sorry. The committee and board in a way that best serves our program moving forward. Meaning it best serves him. I mean, that is an incredible story. And you're right. No one's going to pay attention. Why? Because it's Iowa football. And why? Because the news broke during a super wild card weekend.
Well, it wasn't so super. It was pretty shitty football.
I don't know. I mean, there were two amazing games there.
There were two controversial games there, which is enough. There were two controversial games. They were not amazing games. I don't think Dallas-San Francisco was an amazing game. It was, right? Or was it?
I think Dallas-San Francisco was an amazing game. I think the Cincinnati game against Las Vegas was an amazing game. I mean, the rest of the games, they were not very good.
I thought it was a terrible weekend of football that made me regret. Maybe it's a one-week sample size, but made me
what
say...
What are you, the game police?
They diluted the playoffs is what it felt like. It felt like...
Jesus, it was game of the year. I mean, McCarthy on the hot seat.
Steelers and Eagles didn't deserve to be in the playoffs, should not have been... in the playoffs. But when you say Dallas Cowboys, McCarthy hot seat, I was amazed by something yesterday, Stugatz. Amazed. Again, a television on, no sound up.
Classic Dan.
But
it was it, but it wasn't at home. I was not at home, okay? And I don't want to leave myself open.
You told the people whose house you were at, we need to watch this on mute.
Turn it down.
I'm going to leave myself open to whatever jokes from all angles. I was at the gym. And for 50 minutes on Undisputed, they never moved off that Cowboys game. It was after all that football because they had their morsel, right? So you got Bayless over there with Dallas stuff on the West Coast, and you got Stephen A. Smith doing it on the East Coast. And what I wanted to ask you, because we made it about a microscopic call at the end that can make fun of McCarthy, is the interest in Dallas the reason they're covered that way, or... are they covered that way, and therefore they create that interest in Dallas? Because the Cowboys have been, on results, irrelevant for a quarter of a century. On results, it's a playoff win, not very much since Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones broke up, and yet they dominated. And it was the controversy, but it was the Cowboys too. Do you guys have the answer to that question? The Cowboys, does the interest end up birthing the coverage, or does the coverage end up birthing all of the interest? Because I'm not that interested in the Cowboys.
I have the answer. America's team.
So we're going to keep them that even though...
Yes.
Okay, so...
That's how those shows are produced.
Yes.
Midday television, well, all television shows, but mm-hmm. particularly daytime, really lean on the data that they get. And the audience kind of directs what they talk about. It's why if you turn on First Take... they're either discussing the Dallas Cowboys or Baker Mayfield. Why talk about Baker Mayfield? Why is he relevant? But they talk about him every week because it rates. Same thing with the Tebow stuff from years ago.
It's that easy to manipulate us.
I mean, yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, no, it's that easy to know what you like and feed you more of it. So, yeah, while you don't like it, but you generally run counterculture, most people dig that.
Do most people dig that the best part of the football weekend is that so many of the obnoxious fan bases got knocked out? Cowboys, Steelers, Patriots, Eagles. Like, bang, 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 bang.
A lot of big-time fan bases thoroughly embarrassed over the weekend.
No one more than the Cowboys, though, right? And the thing I wanted to ask you, though, about that, if you're saying that the interest in that team is bigger than the others in that sport, and therefore the microscope should be on that team more than others. They lost. McCarthy has had clock management issues. Just look at it. At Lebatard Show, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Can you tell Mike McCarthy has clock management issues just by looking at him?
Physical appearance?
Just by looking into his face walking down the street if you didn't know anything about what he did for a living. But the clock management issues in that game, to me, it seemed like in both games, really, and maybe I missed this, Stugatz, because the hunger for controversy dominated what wasn't a good football weekend. But I didn't think the whistle determined the play in the Bengals game where I thought Burrow, man, 3rd and 4, what a great throw. Not like Josh Allen hitting Knox by mistake. He was trying to throw that ball away in the end zone, and he ends up hitting Knox. Burrow, I thought that the whistle didn't affect that play. And then all of those men colliding for 3 hours, limping out there after 17 seasons. Some of these teams are too broken to be out there. It gets decided and talked about as a whistle, a whistle, a whistle, a whistle. And I just thought, man, great play by Burrow that wouldn't have been impacted in any way by the whistle. And then the end of the Cowboys game, I was like, oh, wow, the Cowboys shit the bed and Dak's going to get off on all this. They're going to go into the offseason. It's going to be about clock management. And not like, oh, my God, they look shitty at home. Just like they did against the Broncos. You can't trust them.
I think there's plenty of blame to go around. And in fact, if I had to blame one of the two, I would blame Dak Prescott. I mean, then he got the ball back. Down 6 with about 2 minutes to go, 3 timeouts, and he just signed a contract coming off an injury for north of $200 million. I'm sorry, at home in that spot, you want to be an elite quarterback, you drive your team down the field and you get a victory. That's what you do. Sorry. Like the fact that they got the ball back and were in that position in the first place,
I mean, yeah,
was a miracle. It was.
Stugatz's top 5 people to blame for the Cowboys' loss.
Oh,
do you want to do? I mean, okay, because you just went with the most predictable take when they pay you a lot of money.
Everyone's crushing McCarthy. I mean, why Dak Prescott is the guy you should be crushing today? Sorry,
you're not wrong that he should win the game there, but then we'd be criticizing San Francisco about something. Wasn't there a pass that
Jimmy looked horrible?
Terrible. I mean,
we'd be doing it to them too that they can't win a quarter.
Not sure how good Shanahan is. Even right. After winning, I'm not sure.
With 5 minutes to play, you knew that someone was going to get blamed in a massive way. Oh, it was either the Jimmy Garoppolo is not a franchise quarterback and Kyle Shanahan blows leads, or Mike McCarthy should be fired and Dak Prescott's not it was one of those you just know when it's happening, the first take, Chiron the next morning.
Kittle saved them from all of that by simply not catching that ball that bounced.
Yep. The greatest incompletion in the history of the NFL.
Can we talk about how stupid that is, though, that the product would be? I mean, we've talked so much about the way the pandemic has accelerated the greed. The billionaires, the top 10 richest men in the world made twice their money, or some sort of ridiculous stat about how much wealthier they got during the pandemic while everyone else was suffering. Football keeps getting fatter. They give you slop, okay? It's just we played too long a season, and here's an unprecedented 18th game before we get to where it is that we're going, right? Like, it's going to be 17 games during the season. You're going to crawl to this finish line, and the Steelers shouldn't have been in the playoffs, and then the football is going to be crappy all over the place. And we're going to spend the next 2 days talking about two calls and yelling at the refs. The officiating has to be better. Bogert, is that his name? Get out of here.
Bogert?
Yeah.
You're fine.
Well, he is out of here. Yeah.
He is out.
He'll never referee a game again, at least not this year.
I love that Jeff report. He will never be seen from again.
He's done.
Which made me very sad. I understand that most of his games end up being a tire fire, but it just hearing Falstaff, it makes it feel like football. And to not hear Falstaff in a big game, it's a diluted experience.
Whose idea was the quarterback sneak? Because that's who I'm blaming.
Yeah.
Was it McCarthy? Was it Kellen Moore in Dak's ear? Let's sneak here.
He said they practiced that.
With 14 seconds left.
The QB draw. Okay, look, guys, though. Okay, look. The QB draw. I just can't believe that we talk about it this way. Because I imagine myself in this position. And we've practiced it. Imagine our crew.
What would you do in this situation? No,
I just want to imagine our organizational crew when we always got an offensive lineman like you out there for us, Billy, who's going to run around in circles behind the play just hoping that it fails.
What?
I'm saying to you that as we come out of the huddle, we practice it a million times, and we've done it 11 seconds every time. But this time, God damn it, because I don't know where that line judge was supposed to be and when he should have touched the ball. This time it took 13 seconds, and instead of throwing into the end zone with 1 second left and looking like we've got a brilliant play to CeeDee Lamb for 24 yards because we practiced it all week, we get made fun of all offseason because we were a second slow with our organizational skills.
Right. Got to slide to the 30, though, Dan. Romo, that's the key to that play.
You also got to find that official. Yeah. Dak needs to get up. Yeah. Romo said this in the moment.
Awareness.
You need to find that official. Right. He put the ball down, and then the official had to go touch the ball.
They didn't give him room to get through.
Mm-hmm. ESPN did a great job of showing, you know, multiple times Larry Fitzgerald taking the ball in that exact same situation and running it over to the referee so he could touch it, then handing it to his center so his center could put it on the ground. That's what you got to do. They're not prepared.
If anything, you keep someone back there to pick up the ref, jog him down the field, and get him to the line.
It was amazing. The reported detail of how often they practiced that play was handing the ball to the official not part of the practice? They just thought that they could set their own ball?
Just the official in practice would get there on time because they'd been running the play so often.
It was a terrible play.
I want to know what you want us to be doing. You want the game to go perfectly. Yeah, we know exactly who the best team is, and we all come in here and say, Dallas is the best team. Like, this is the fun shit. We're like, no, he was wrong. No, he was wrong. He should be fired. Let's do this.
I'm a little confused as to how, like, the conversations about that play, when Dak was largely responsible for how poorly that play went, and we're still fixated on the play, and not how bad Dak was during the entire game, and the one moment in question. Like, he was terrible that game.
And Stugatz, who for the last 2 months, and I haven't corrected him one time as he has been talking about just how amazing a general manager Jerry Jones now is, ignoring 25 years of he ran off a championship coach and dissolved one of the last great dynasties, one of the things that made them America's team.
He did, but Dan, that team is a talented team. I mean, he helped put it together.
You say that it's a talented team, but I would say to you, Micah Parsons didn't want him. Ended up settling for him. They didn't get the guy they wanted there. Same with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott fell to them. They were trying to get other guys, and those are the guys they ended up getting. Because if you have 25 years of stability in the draft, even Jerry Jones is going to hit some. But you don't question at all that he's giving a press conference after that, and people are now wondering if McCarthy's going to be fired. If that's your general manager, those are the results you've been getting for a quarter century with him owning the team. Since he ran, like, that dude has not really forgiven Jimmy Johnson, doesn't actually want to put his name up in the Ring of Honor. Jimmy doesn't believe it'll go up before he's dead, doesn't believe he'll be welcome back. Jerry ran him off, championship coach, and then hired a clown to prove to Jimmy, I can do it with anybody. Here, Barry Switzer. And Switzer ran into the ground but stumbled into one in 2 or 3 years and ran it right into the ground, and they haven't been any good since. Jerry Jones is still giving press conference after those games, and we're talking about McCarthy being fired.
Right.
Because you can't fire the guy doing the press conferences, but that team has been, Stugatz, for the attention it's gotten, and that's all he cares about, because the circus and he doesn't even mind the controversies in that sport, because he just wants attention to his product as it makes more and more money.
And he gets it, right, win or lose.
But they're not any good. They haven't been for 25 years.
No, but I think Jerry views it as a very talented team that he worked very hard in putting together along with Stephen Jones, and that just about any coach would win with a team that's that talented. But he hired Mike McCarthy. Dan, I guarantee you there are good coaches that would win a Super Bowl with that team. That roster is talented enough.
Who hired McCarthy?
Jerry Jones did. I mean, that's on him. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not.
Because
it's
totally
on him.
He needs a puppet coach. That's what you're going to get when the owner of the team, it's his toy in such an overt way that he's giving press conferences right after the game. What you're going to get is only a coach who at the time had been fired, wasn't going to get back into the game, and was pretending in the interviews to talk about analytics. It's just a guy to go out there so Jerry can run the team, and that's what you get, sloppy clock management at the end.
Are we mad at Jerry or are we mad at Mike McCarthy? I'm getting confused.
Yeah.
The blame, in bringing a loop on this entire segment through the journalism and the power that we're talking about.
Are we mad at Flores or Ross?
I don't know.
Who are we mad at?
Everybody.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Feel bad for Cully, though.
Yeah, 22 million, man. I'm telling you.
Aruba.
10-win season for the Hawkeyes is pretty good.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.